Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Doing tonight?
Oh my god. What is wrong with you?
Beer.
Well, I'm Howie Knoll. This is Terra Normal Radio. Joining me is my co-host, Fernando Martinez, Dr. Zenitram. And we have an awesome show. We have an awesome
Yes, we do.
My special guest today is the Blue Meanie from ECW and WWE. Pro wrestler and actor, Brian Heffron. I'm very excited to have him on the show tonight. Also, later in the hour, my friend from WrestleZone.com, a columnist, awesome guy and podcaster, Adam Gorzelski, will be talking about the most paranormal wrestling superstars ever. So we're going to have a wrestling and ghost show. Because that's two of the things that are important in life.
Yeah, wrestling and ghosts. It's Sting.
Was he really a ghost?
Yeah, I mean, coming down from the rafters with the white makeup, ghost.
I guess so.
He was like the Crow. The Crow was dead. The Crow was basically a ghost.
I guess it is like the Crow. So my special guest should arrive at any moment. Are you on the line, sir?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. What's up, man?
What's going on?
Say hello to the blue guy, man.
It's the blue guy, ladies and gentlemen. For everybody listening, I can give away your name, right? Are you cool? Because there could be marks listening.
Somebody could be like watching to see if he has loved ones. Don't you know?
It would like ruin your thing.
Nah, man, it's cool.
don't Bruce right now. Don't do that.
What?
What the hell happened to your phone, Fernando?
It turns me into Decepticon every now and then.
They're triangulating your call. It's like the art call when they're triangulating.
They'll never. I'm on an airplane right now. They'll never find me.
What are you, the guy from Contact? What's his name? The guy who built the other time travel gimmick?
Yeah.
Not Doc Brown? What?
I'm still trying to figure out that fucking movie. Oh, can I swear?
Yeah, you can swear.
Please do.
You're allowed to swear. This is an adult show. Despite the fact that I make comics.
I've been doing a lot of radio lately, and sometimes I gotta remember where I can and cannot say certain things. So
yeah, you're allowed to swear.
You can You can say everything here.
Yeah, I'm from South Philly, so the F word's like a noun. You know, so.
Love it.
Well,
your phone's gimmicked, dude.
It's that bad? Wow.
Yeah, you cut out every now and then, but I mean, you're not the guest, so it's okay.
It's like listening to a girlfriend, you cut out every now and then, you know?
Waka waka!
I thought he was telling me to do the dishes, so I just ignored him.
Word.
That's what I assume he's doing, telling me to do chores and shit.
Yeah, just every time I say something, you're just like, that Fernando, that asshole.
I haven't even introduced because I'm terrible at hosting. So, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, this is our special guest. This is the Blue Meanie.
What's up?
You should know him.
Hopefully.
You better know him. He's from ECW, and I always say WWE because I've been brainwashed, but he was in the WWF.
Yes. I was in the WWF when it was cool.
That's right.
I was very
fortunate enough to be in like both hot eras. You know, I was in like the good era, like the hot period of ECW in '96, and then I was fortunate enough to be in WWE during the hot period of you know, the Attitude Era. So I've been very fortunate to be at the right place at the right time. Sometimes.
I know you had the highs of both major companies.
Yeah, and you know, it's just trying to make opportunities, man. Just it's just crazy how some things work, but you got to make it work, and it did. You know.
And not only that, but because this is a paranormal website, radio show / that, but you know a thing or two about the paranormal.
Yeah, well, a lot of the people I wrestle with are now ghosts, so I don't know. Well, I do believe in the paranormal besides, you know, all my coworkers passing on, but it's something, you know, I've always believed in from, you know, childhood up until this very second. Something that's always fascinated me. Something, you know, my family has, you know, shared experiences with me about, and something, you know, I've questioned, you know, what's it all about? And, you know, that's the thing that keeps me going is, you know, the ever quest of, you know, trying to, you know, find out what's going on. So, I'm glad to be on here with, like-minded people, you know, I mean, especially, we got to do the ghost tour of, Eastern State.
Yeah.
And, it was very interesting, and, you know, dude, just investigating with you was, a trip and a half. So, I mean, we had some very good experiences, and, very cool.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. You actually were leading, you know, one of the groups, and it was you got stuck with Death Row, which is frightening as hell. And I thought you did an awesome job. It was actually one of the best led groups I've ever seen. So if anybody listening gets a chance to go ghost hunting, and you're in where Brian is part of the event, please check it out. He's awesome. And basically, what's cool is you let everybody do what they're doing, you know?
Right. It's, you know, because, hey, I'm just as much a fan, but I'm very grateful that Amy, Adam, and Britt, you know, asked me to, you know, lead a couple groups. Or, I mean, you know, I led in the section, you know, I was designated. And I was very fortunate that they trusted me because their names mean so much in the in that world. That, you know, that, you know, their stamp of approval is something I don't want to, you know, to trounce on.
Yeah.
And I want to do them, you know, proud. So, just the fact that they, you know, they let me, you know, take over Death Row and, you know, let people do their thing. But, you know, as each group would come around, you know, I would share what previous group had encountered. So if people want to expound on what the previous group had, you know, figured out, or the, you know, the group from the night before had figured out or encountered, you know, why not see if we can, you know, find it again? In a lot of cases, some of the, you know, the K2 meter sessions, sometimes certain questions would get hits, you know, repeatedly. And it was like something like that that really makes you, you know, and I'm going to use wrestling speak, but it makes me, you know, really mark out, you know, turn into a fanboy, you know, like, wow, that really just happened. So, you know, it was definitely, I'm definitely glad they trusted me and you know, leading some of those groups.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And I think you did an awesome, I mean, it was awesome night, and it was really active around there. And I heard, I heard a bunch of people say that you had the best area, not to toot your own.
Thank you.
But I mean, that's what we're here for. I'm here to give you an audio BJ. So, I mean,
that explains a lot.
That's why you call into these things. You should have your ass kissed. I mean, I figured, you know, we're friends, but where else can I kiss your ass in a public place?
And not get a citation.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Or kicked out of Chick-fil-A.
I know, I can. Yeah. I had never been to Chick-fil-A to begin with. I don't like their food. That's a political statement, you know?
Right.
I mean, whatever. But, I mean, I think people shouldn't go because they put pickles.
Well, you know what I did? You know, I did my own personal protest. There's one near my house, and I went to the Wendy's across the street and made them put a pickle on it and, you know, stared at Chick-fil-A while I ate it. So
that's awesome.
Well, while I wiggled my pecker at him. So.
Well, right.
That's my own moral victory.
That's the moral right there. I love that people ran out and went to Chick-fil-A as a protest, and I'm like, that's shitty food. You're protesting good food.
Yeah, my friend who's I have a friend Rick who does. He's made his living in nutrition. You know, he's put out his own brand of nutritional supplements and protein bars and stuff. He says if you go to their website and read the ingredients. Right away, most of their stuff, you know, causes cancer.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff they put in their food. Not only will it make you obese, which, you know, hey, look at me, but, I mean, it will give you cancer. And it's right there in plain sight, you know, and he's smarter than me, so I'm going to take his word for it. And he's made a lot of money doing nutrition, so I usually lean towards those people who are experts in that field, so.
I just think, it's just a weird thing to me where people get so passionate all of a sudden. And, but you can't get this kind of passion when you're really trying like to get some help on a normal thing that doesn't involve fast food. Our country gets really up in arms when it comes to fast food.
What's that?
I was just saying that they just get, you know, I think it's fast food. We're very passionate about it in this country.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah. Never mind, the Patriot Act, you know. It's just, God damn it, I want my chicken.
Don't you judge my chicken and it's politics. Yeah.
Right.
They're bringing up family to get chicken. But, you know, Chick-fil-A nonetheless. You've got like a lot of awesome stuff that you're doing. You're also a movie star.
Semi.
An actor in films.
Yeah, a couple movies I did just came out on DVD. One called Community College, which we filmed back in 2006. We started filming in 2006, and it, you know, as independent film goes, sometimes it takes a little longer to come out. So. It recently was just finished up in 2011 and then released on DVD 2012 through Chemical Burn Pictures. And you can go to wastedapples.com for more info about that. You can get it online. Another movie I also did, Mancation, with Joy Fatone and Winnie from the Wonder Years. That's coming out very soon on DVD and Comcast On Demand. Another one called Miss December. It was originally called Calendar Girl, but Kevin Smith, his new line of distribution called Smodcast Pictures is putting it out, and he thought it would better suit it called Miss December. And, you know, Kevin Smith, you know, he's done a couple movies, so can't go wrong with that. So that will also be coming out on the DVD and Comcast On Demand and all that good stuff. And if you follow me at The Blue Meanie on Twitter, you can I will gladly plug away some of my projects on there. So
yeah, but yeah, on Twitter he's awesome. And I mean, you're also get ready for expressive language, I would say. Being an adult, you're gonna be a fan.
I definitely have a potty mouth. It's just just influences in my life, you know. Just I don't say it to be shocking, but I think there's an art form to profanity. I mean, if it's done right, you know. And you know, guys like George Carlin, and you know he could paint you a picture with the word fuck, you know, right. And just. And it's great. It's just a form of expression, and you know, I try to keep my tweets, you know, lighthearted or entertaining. Sometimes I put a little meaning behind them or have a little bit of a cause, but for the most part, I try to, you know, keep people, you know, laughing and try to make people forget, you know, about what's going on and try to keep them entertained. So.
Yeah, and I just I spread out. Jesus,
Are you talking about the UC State Penitentiary again?
Yeah. I spread out in the penitentiary, but I popped your
Block 7.
Yeah, I got a really that was really bad. I got I put your Facebook up there in the chat room for everybody to look at. If you're listening to this on a podcast, you look up Blue Mini, and
go to Facebook. .com/Brian.Heffron, HEFFRON, RON, and you can hit subscribe. Right now I'm right at my friend's limit, but you can subscribe to my posts, and you can look at my photos, and, you know, a lot like, you know, Twitter, I try to keep things entertaining and informative on there as well, so.
Oh, yeah, and also, yep, so Fern, you're adding him, right?
Oh, yeah, I just did.
All right, cool. And he's got the fan page, which you look up the same information.
Yep.
Brian Heffron, Blue Meanie, the official fan page, because there's some fake.
Well, there's an official fan page that I treat like a redheaded stepchild, that, and I tried to. I really started it with the best of intentions, but I have ADD, and I can only take care of one Facebook page at a time, so. No, there's an official Blue Meanie Facebook fan page, but I pay more attention to, you know, the one I originally started. So if you go to facebook.com/Brian.Heffron, HEFFRON, you'll get more activity from that one. So.
Yeah, and also, well, yeah, and you treat that like it is a public Facebook, though. You know.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's a personal one, but, you know, I always consider my fans friends anyway, so why not?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, if they become dickheads, they're not your fans anymore, so you kick them to the curb.
Oh, yeah, the block button is a beautiful thing, so.
Now, Fernando had a question for you, and
yes.
I don't think
I did.
No question. Yeah, you mentioned it when we were talking earlier. Go ahead and ask him your one question.
Well, I was just like, look.
Let me preface this with, in college, he was obsessed with.
Okay, fine. Because it was a complete awesome Crow ripoff, and I was just like, did you ever meet Sting?
Oh,
and that was.
I'm trying to think. Have I met Sting?
And would this has been before or after Crow days?
No, I think I have met Sting, but I think I was just a fan. I don't think I've ever met him while I was in the business.
Wow. I didn't
know. And I'm not one to. It's definitely based off the Crow and all that stuff, but, you know, I'm the guy who does, you know, I'm the wrestling equivalent of, you know, Weird Al Yankovic, where.
Which is goddamn awesome.
Well, the cool thing is, I mean, it's one thing to do a parody of another wrestler. But it's even better when, you know, they turn to you and say, you know, that was cool. Because, you know, mean, our most notorious one was the BWO, which was a parody of the New World Order.
Yes.
And I got to meet, you know, become friends with Scott Hall. I became friends with X-Pac. And even got to meet, you know, Hogan. I went back to the WWE in 2005, and we were doing the BWO, and we had a little feud between, you know, the BWO and the Mexicools. And Hogan was there.
Right.
And he saw us do the whole BWO thing. And the funny story is, you know, those, like, those things when they say, coming up next, and you see the wrestlers do the pose, and then it does a freeze frame, and, you know, coming up next.
Yeah.
Well, they had us go with, you know, Steve Lombardi, Brooklyn Brawler, to go do our little screen captures. And we're in there, and then Hogan comes in. So Nova, who does a parody of Hogan, is doing his screen capture as Hogan. And then Steve Lombardi goes, hey, Hulk, I think he's ripping off your gimmick, brother. And Nova goes, no way, dude. Hogan's voice. And Hogan just got, like, the biggest laugh out of it and, you know, gave the thumbs up. And it's, like, the coolest thing when guys you do parodies of dig it, you know, because they get whipped about and stuff like that. You know, I mean, they must mean something if we did a parody of them, so.
I think it's great, and I think, who doesn't imitate Scott Hall, though? Like, all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something, man.
Hey, man. Hey, yo. Chico.
Hey, yo.
We did today, too, man.
Listen
up. Which was kind of good to see him back on Twitter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. He made a cameo on Twitter today. I sent a little message, but unfortunately did not hear back. But it was good to see him make a little cameo, do a little run-in on Twitter.
He's probably going to restaurants and not paying for checks and throwing the food at the waiters like he used to.
Would you expect less?
Some wrestling humor, if anybody's ever seen the amazing promos for Razor Ramon's debut. He would just go around and act like an asshole to people.
Oh, man.
I don't know how they tried to make him a bad guy. Like, I get that he's the bad guy, but everybody loved him. So, I mean...
Yeah.
He's just a bad guy you love to hate.
A bad guy. Like, I want to go to the waiter, you know?
Yeah, and being from Philly, I mean, we always love the bad guy. You know, a lot of the guys who come to the town would be like, you know, if you're a good guy, you know, some of the good guys are like, shit, we gotta go to Philly, because we would always cheer for the villains. You know,
You guys would boo Santa Claus, wouldn't you?
What's that?
They say that Philly would boo Santa Claus.
Oh, we did, but that was 60 years ago when people seem to not forget about it. You know.
Yeah.
You want to know the story behind why Philadelphia booed Santa Claus?
Yes, I do.
This is the legit story. The Eagles were stinking that year, you know, big surprise. And they were in line to get O.J. Simpson in the draft. So this game where everybody was hoping the Eagles would lose so they could drop down and get a better draft pick to get O.J., they start fucking winning. And it was around Christmas, and they were going to have, like, a halftime show with Santa Claus. Well, it turns out the guy who was going to be Santa no-showed that day. So they saw a kid in the crowd with a Santa suit and said, hey, you want to just go out there and wave to people? And this guy was, like, half-tanked as it was. And he goes out there in this ratty-ass Santa suit. So not only are the Eagles fans pissed that, you know, the Eagles are winning – they're not going to get O.J. Simpson in a draft, but they try to send this dollar store Santa Claus out at halftime to wave to the people, and they're like, you know, fuck you. You know, they just, you know, start pelting, you know, booing and pelting them with snowballs and stuff like that. And so that was the whole legend of that. You know, thanks, O.J. You know?
That's the reason. Another thing O.J. can be blamed for.
Yeah.
I mean, send him to jail longer for that shit. He's got
good boy Santa Claus.
I love Philadelphia. I love the city. I love the ECW.
Oh, yeah.
Huge fan of ECW. I'm such an ECW. I don't care. I even like the new one, and it was bad. You know, the remake.
I compared the new ECW they tried to come out with to like that scene in the movie Wayne's World,
yeah,
where you know they sell their show to Noah's Arcade, and then they go to their first taping of the new Wayne's World, and they're looking around. They're like, "Wow, this is Wayne's basement, but this isn't Wayne's basement." You know, it was ECW by name, but it really wasn't ECW. So.
Yeah. I love the first bad episodes they did where they didn't know what the hell they were doing, which they still didn't, you know, before they turned it into like a sub-SmackDown. You know, I like those first awkward ones where they had a zombie.
And if you want to hear, I got a story about that. They had, being on the Sci-Fi Network, you know, they want to introduce, you know, these subby characters to, you know, the WWE audience. So, you know, the Sci-Fi executives were there. And initially, I mean, every week Sandman came out and caned somebody. So in this first, you know, edition of the new ECW, on Sci-Fi, they wanted Sandman to come out and cane a wrestler dressed like an alien. And
WCW level of greatness.
Soak it in, because... that Sci-Fi Network turned around and goes, "Well, I don't see how he can cane an alien. An alien would just turn around with its ray gun and shoot him."
You can't bring the science in there.
Yeah, you can't have them talking to the network. You can't work with the network on this stuff.
It's like, we've worked with aliens before. This is what they do. Ray guns.
And we done study groups on aliens, and they said they were not going to sell the cane shot. So that's where they came up with the idea for the ECW zombie.
It's like that Shawn Michaels, where the alien won't do the job.
Right. The alien will lose his smile.
He's going to walk out. The alien walked out and refused to sell the Sandman.
Exactly.
And instead
Sandman's so wasted, he could no sell the alien, you know.
Oh, that, so he legitimately frightens me.
He's interesting. He's an interesting fellow.
I saw him at a Comic-Con in New York, like one of the Big Apple shows. And the Big Apple shows are. Have you ever been to one, Brian?
Oh yeah.
They're like really packed in. You know the way they did it back in the day. They really packed people in. He showed up drunk, of course, because, you know, that's Sandman. But I was
You can't do the Big Apple not drunk.
No, that's true. I didn't blame him. When I saw Val Kilmer there, he glowed. He didn't look fat or out of shape or bad. Val Kilmer...
Probably still drunk, though. Probably still drunk.
I don't know, but he glowed like gold. He had a sheen to him. I wanted to see him terrible. I wanted to see him look bad.
It was a whiskey sheen. Yeah. Whiskey sheens are sexy.
Dude, we went to... Me and my girlfriend Tracy went to Chiller Theater. And that was the one where they had Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend, you know, is a big Top Gun fan. I mean, she's like a huge fan of it. So she just wanted to go over and just look at him. And somebody screamed at her, "Donnie, $50, please." Like, dude, calm down. She's just looking at him, you know. It's not like she's trying to cut a line or not. And she just wants to look at this enigma that is fucking what
the third Batman.
The nipple Batman.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah.
Val Kilmer. I mean, what a damn it! I wish he would have looked worse. But I mean, I got another friend coming up here, WrestleZone.com writer Adam Gorzeski, and we're going to talk about, this is something you'll be able to help us a lot with. There's paranormal wrestling characters. So we thought we would get together and try to come up with I have the best. I think the best is obvious, but I mean, there's a bunch of other ones that you might know that I don't. It's really intertwined because wrestling's like close to comic books, so you have characters that are supernatural.
Right.
And
I mean,
they don't necessarily have, so Adam, if you're listening, feel free to call in so you can add to this. But I'm thinking, like, isn't it weird how they do intertwine, like RoboCop showed up?
It was the weirdest thing. And if you saw RoboCop's appearance in WCW, you know, he goes to rip the door off, and the gimmick fake lock that they had on the cage fell off before he even, like, touched the cage.
Yeah.
it's RoboCop, though. It was afraid.
It might have been maybe that was in his headset, that to be able to destroy steel cages. Did he have a little
it's the fifth directive.
Yeah. I mean,
pretty much.
This shit's insane. And I think Adam's here to join us, but he's just on hold right now. I wanted to give a shout out to your Facebook. So please, I mean, if you're listening to this, you should already be a fan of his on Facebook. Let's get that redheaded stepchild of a Facebook page. Let's get it up there. Get it a little.
Yeah, I'm on it.
Blue Meanie / Brian Heffron, and give it a like, and also just go ahead and look him up on Facebook plainly. I mean, because you can subscribe to him, because yeah, he has reached the fame level of cutoff. Zuckerberg won't let him have any more friends. But you can subscribe.
Yeah, bastard.
I don't get it. Why did he cut you off at 5,000? I don't get it.
I don't know. I didn't know. I guess I got lucky with some other people too. I mean, yeah, I had to be on a wait to be your friend on Facebook officially.
I went through my friends list and just weeded out. I mean, you look at some people's things and they hadn't like posted on in like 2 years, so you're like, I don't think they'll be missing me. So
yeah,
you know, you just clear out space, or you know, promotions that are no longer around. It's like,
I think it's okay. He's not going to come back and shit on me. Let's turn this into a real sausage fest. Here's my friend Adam joining us. We'll see how clusterfucky we can make this. I am cursing a lot because I blame Brian.
Just go for it. Love it.
Okay, Adam.
What's up, man?
How you doing?
Oh, this is going to get awkward with me being from Pittsburgh and all, and me talking about Philadelphia so much.
Oh, Jesus.
Uh-oh. The rivalry's up.
I do have a favorite Philadelphia story. It's funny. It's not completely ripping on the city of Philadelphia, which I do on a regular basis, but it's a good story. Apparently, and maybe this isn't true, but this is what I heard, when they first, when they still had Lincoln, not before the Link, whatever, what was it, Veterans Field, Veterans Stadium, whatever they had to fill.
Veterans Stadium, yes.
Yes. They actually decided to put a magistrate judge in the basement of the building because so many people were getting arrested. And the first night that they did this, the Eagles are playing the Cowboys, and some dude got completely wasted off his ass, which isn't surprising, of course. But he had this hat on that had this football dangling in the front. It was like on a spring, like a freaking Teletubby or something. And he got down in front of the judge for being a complete asshole, and the judge is reading him the riot act, and the dude can barely stand on his own 2 feet. He's staggering back and forth in front of the judge, and his freaking football's waving in front of his face while he's doing it. And the judge is screaming at him and finally says, you know, you're a disgrace to this city. Do you have anything to say for yourself? And the guy finally looks up at the judge, pushes the football out of his face, and says, Troy Aikman's a dick. And that's all he says to the judge. It's pretty much a classic Philly story, if I've ever heard one.
Troy, yeah, I heard Artie Lang tell that one before, too, so that's pretty cool.
Troy Aikman is a dick, though.
I think he is. Oh, yeah. I mean, the guy had it right.
We can all agree on that. But so we're discussing with Brian. I mean, Brian, do you think I think Papa Shango was a good one? In my opinion, I thought he was a good
character. As far as being like a comic book character?
Yeah, like a paranormal character. Yeah, not a.
The ultimate one would be the Undertaker, of course.
Oh yeah. But,
I mean, when you know look at how he's evolved as a character as well, you know. From being cartoony to becoming, you know, the biker, and then going back to the dark side. I mean, he's definitely evolved over the years. Another guy who could be a paranormal character, you know, would be, you know, not paranormal, but like I always think of in the terms of comic book characters, you know, would be like a Rob Van Dam, you know, with the whole martial arts thing and stuff like that, and you know, stuff like that. But
with me,
I would definitely go with the Undertaker overall, though.
I thought Rob Van Dam's clothes are always paranormal, though, because they have dragons.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're airborne.
Well, what's our criteria here? Because obviously the Undertaker is the dead man. He's either risen from the dead or has gained some sort of powers by being a mortician. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Morticians hold quite some power.
His manager was the mortician. His manager was the mortician.
Yeah, he would saw the casket, but he's a zombie. The Undertaker's a zombie, so he's straight up
pretty much.
I mean,
he's like something out of Phantasm.
Yeah.
They've called him the dead man, but, I mean, has anybody really established if he had died at some point in time? Or is it, established? I mean...
Yeah. When he first came in, I mean, when he first debuted, he's an ungodly color because he used to be really pale. Now he tans because he works on his farm. But, I mean, he was really pale. He had the makeup under the eyes. He rose up like Michael Myers. I mean, living people don't do that shit.
Yeah.
He's a zombie.
I know some living people who do that.
It's a funny thing, you bring up the tan thing, because when I was in WWE in 98, they had Gangrel, who did the vampire gimmick. He did the vampire gimmick, and we would always tease him for being tan, and I would say, like, yo, what's up, Tampire? He's the only vampire I've ever seen with a suntan. I mean,
that is the winning remark of the night.
That's because he fed on Sookie, and he could walk in the daylight.
Let's get our vampire lore correct here. It's just sunlight that causes problems. Can he fake tan? I mean, would the fluorescent light bulbs in the tanning bed cause, you know, whatever happens? I guess they melt or they catch on fire or whatever it is. Where do we draw the line here? We're talking to the paranormal experts, so
I'm just
a lowly WrestleZone columnist. I need to know.
What if it's spray tan?
I don't know. At least
spray tan guy.
At least it didn't glow like the.
It's an option.
Like the new tan vampires do these days. Like they don't sparkle. At least it didn't sparkle like, the new teen vampires, you know, they could just walk around in the daylight, you know.
He was definitely real tan. And I don't know why we're discussing like whether it's real or fake, but I think he was based off the trading card game, right? That's where they got his name from. So I don't know the lore of that trading card game, but you're extra nerdy when you're a wrestling character based on a trading card game.
Not the trading card game. It was the Masquerade, the live-action role-playing game, which I used to sadly play.
It's even
at
crazier.
Yacht clubs.
The truth slowly comes out.
At the end of each WWE broadcast, they would have to put Gangrel as a trademark of, and I can't remember the name of the company.
I think White Wolf.
Yeah.
Yes.
White Wolf. Wrestling nerd, so I'm pretty sure White Wolf. And
you're correct.
I don't know most of our presidents because I know this kind of shit.
Good for you. Right. You're the. Yeah.
I hate.
We all have to have our place in this world.
Yeah. Brian,
a lot of my gray matter has been beaten out of me, so just.
Someone has to be the custodian of that information, and Howie, you're it.
screw Wikipedia.
Fuck it. Howiepedia.
I hate when people argue with me about wrestling shit because I know too much. Yeah, they used to always say Ultimate Warrior died. That's another paranormal. He's paranormal. He's from parts unknown.
Well, not to mention, I was just going to bring him up. I mean, he appeared in the mirror in WCW to taunt Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff. So I'm not sure how a non-paranormal person would pull that off. So I'm going to put him in the category.
Yeah, Brian, do you think he's paranormal?
He's borderline, I guess. But
he's normal. He's not normal.
He's definitely not.
No, there's nothing normal about him.
If you ever seen any of his YouTube videos, you know he's definitely not normal.
I mean,
he's definitely on another level.
Yeah, he's like, you know, and it.
Well, With the amount of steroids he took, though, his heart could have stopped and restarted numerous times, so he might have come back from the dead.
I think he's part Beast Man from the He-Man cartoons.
Beast?
Yeah, I think he's part Beast Man. I'm trying to think of others.
I did a little research in anticipation of this one.
Thank God.
Does anybody remember a classic WCW character by the name of the Black Scorpion? Come on, someone's got to reach deep for this one.
Unfortunately, I mean, that was the wrestling equivalent of an abortion.
apparently, at one point, it was voiced by Ole Anderson, which, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's the same person who voiced the Shockmaster, which is quite possibly the greatest character ever created.
Shockmaster.
Oh, we're talking about abortions, yes.
Shockmaster sounded like Dr. Claw from the Inspector Gadget cartoon.
Oh,
exactly.
That was perfect. Yeah, so.
Thank you.
What did Black Scorpion? I don't even remember him. I really blocked him out.
This dude feuded with Sting for like 2 months back in the early 90s.
Of course.
And apparently he was able to perform some type of black magic. That's why I threw him into the list. And I looked it up on Wikipedia, of course. But according to Wikipedia, which is my number one source for information, they would actually bring in like a other magician who was under a mask to perform the stunts that he was performing, and then they'd switch him off and bring an actual wrestler in. So,
yeah, over the course of the years, they had different wrestlers do the actual in-ring thing to keep people guessing as to who it was, because every week the Black Scorpion would come out and be like, "Sting, here's another clue, Venice Beach."
Yeah.
And, it was just Ole Anderson under a robe. And then eventually the big blow-off was, Sting was their face, the Black Scorpion at Starrcade, and then, he beats him and then he rips off the mask and it's just Ric Flair under a hood. Which looks like
Ric Flair did magic.
They wrote the angle as it went on. There was, like, no set tone to it. There's throwing shit against the wall. Okay, this week we'll do this. And then, there's definitely no direction. And, they're like, well, let's make it Ric Flair. Why not?
Wow.
And then they shaved, the bowl and Flair's head. They shaved his head. They gave him the Phil Donahue look.
Oh.
And he's for a man. And you could tell it was Flair. Yeah, he had the Huey Lewis chin just sticking out from the fucking neck. You're like, oh, come on. That's like dead giveaway. He's trying to do everything that Flair doesn't. He's trying to not wrestle like Ric Flair.
And but the whole time, he's like, woo, shit.
Yeah.
Basically, the anonymous Raw GM is the modern-day Black Scorpion, where we just throw a bunch of shit together and see what comes out and have no idea where it's going the entire time until it's Hornswoggle.
That's true.
Although they eventually did that with me and Goldust, because they were doing, WWE was doing the whole GTV thing where, the secret camera was catching, wrestlers at, inopportune times and they're on television, and eventually it was going to be me and Goldust.
Is that the official answer we can finally say it was you guys?
Eventually, because we said it was supposed to be us eventually, but there was never an official blow-off to the whole angle, There's no, payoff moment to where it was revealed to be us,
Do I get to break this as an exclusive on WrestleZone to completely shoot down the Mean Gene theory that they brought out on Raw 1000? This would get views.
Take that exclusive from my show and give Brian a link. Give Brian a link to his Twitter and plug that he was on this radio show. That's the exclusive. Goldust and Blue Meanie were
behind GTV.
Finally, Vince apparently doesn't think people remember continuity, so why the fuck should you resolve a topic like that, a big story?
Especially now where you got great things like VCRs and DVRs and the internet and YouTube.
They sell DVDs to you, they sell Blu-rays to you, but you're not supposed to remember the stuff.
No, you can't watch it again. What are you talking about? No.
Hey, Coliseum Home Video got me through my childhood, so...
I got to be honest, I think they're going to, so the pay-per-view that just took place where Triple H fought Brock, right? At the end,
right.
they wanted the big "you get applauded even though you lost" thing, and he got booed, and then they chant "you tapped out" to him. I have a feeling that they're going to change that on the DVD, so I need to always have a copy of that.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely, because, you know, I mean, like with the WrestleManias, they switch it up too, because like the one year, you know, Triple H came out to a Metallica song, and then they went and, you know, dubbed it out in the home video, you know, version, or they'll edit out a mistake, or...
Oh, yeah, and when they air on NBC, they don't want to pay for it twice. So, I mean, Undertaker walked down to Katy Perry instead of Johnny Cash. Big difference. There's a big difference.
That makes a whole lot of sense.
Was she at least singing like the Johnny Cash song? Or
No, the alien.
They just didn't even go with it. She's just like, he's coming out to like Teenage Dream or something.
No, she's like, it's like, kiss me, and it's Undertaker.
Because that makes sense with the Undertaker, because that's always when I see the Undertaker,
he's,
I think of Kiss Me.
He's an alien.
That you want to make
you
out
know what
with.
That reminds, you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of those videos they would have on YouTube, you know, where it says, you know, they'll say Creed shreds, and you know, they'll have a video of Creed, and the guy just overdubs himself playing like really shitty guitar and singing really shitty lyrics to it, you know, and you know it's supposed to be Creed, but you know it's them fucking up all over the place. You know,
it's like in the
thank you YouTube,
in the style of Creed. the chat room is exploding. They want us to mention, and I didn't think of because I'm so, you know, I'm in awe of the conversation.
You're neglecting Kane. Your fans.
Kane is paranormal.
Oh, Kane, obviously. Yeah.
Kane is paranormal because he's not even burned. He's insane.
No. Yeah, its sanity is a little paranormal. I'll agree.
Well, it's pretty amazing that he apparently raped some girl and is still allowed to wrestle. So, not in real life, of course, but everyone, of course, remembers
dead.
The
she was
god awful Katy Vick angle.
She was dead, Adam.
Well, no, the storyline that he supposedly killed her in an accident or something like that, and then Triple H mocked it by, you know, quote unquote, you know, humping a mannequin that was supposed to be Katy Vick in a coffin.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, again, a wrestling abortions 101.
Well, was that legitimate rape that Triple H did? Or could
No, because the mannequin shut it down.
Yeah,
the mannequin's
magic vagina shut it down, right?
Right.
I heard that can happen.
Yes.
He just took a horrible political turn.
Dr. Beatty, yes.
It was on the internet, so it's got to be true.
I believe
it does have to be true.
I don't know. It's very topical this week. I like it. I don't know. We get I'm not usually relevant.
No. We usually make like jokes that are like 20 years old.
Shut up. Somebody's going to hear this podcast in a year and not get what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, I got another one here. I got another one to throw out. How about now, hear me out on this one. Old school WCW giant. Now, not only do we have the whole Hulk Hogan trapped in Dungeon of Doom land, which is somewhat paranormal and quite possibly the greatest angle / vignette that's ever aired on TV. For anyone who hasn't seen it, please go to YouTube and check it out. You won't regret it. But who can forget the monster truck rally on top of the building? Freaking Hulk Hogan knocks him off the building. The dude came back and fought a match after that. If that's not paranormal, I don't know what is.
He's a giant.
And the fact that he fell off a building into a river, walked down the aisle completely dry.
Yes.
Hey, that is hard to argue.
Well, it was really windy that night. Super windy. He got knocked off a building, and Hogan was like, oh, shit.
He fell into a river in Detroit.
Like, I just killed him.
Yeah, and he just got up, walked to the ring completely dry.
And he won the match, didn't he?
I don't know. I fell into a coma right after I saw him start walking down the aisle. I went, Jesus Christ.
I was zombies are real.
Just young enough to actually be scared.
Like WrestleCrap.com, where they have the best of the worst wrestling angles ever, in the history of wrestling, and this is probably, you know, definitely enshrined on WrestleCrap.com, where they, you know, just show the best worst angles in wrestling history. Speaking of paranormal, they had the Yeti character, which was a mummy.
Oh, the mummy!
He walked down
the
aisle. Him and the Yeti and Big Show dry humped Hogan in the middle of the ring on a WCW pay per view. I mean, if we're going to talk about paranormal wrestling stuff like that, you know, or characters.
He was a mummy, and yet they called him the Yeti. That's kind of
a Yeti is like an abominable snowman.
He wasn't.
Was Kevin Sullivan some kind of, like, sorcerer or warlock in that whole Dungeon of Doom angle? Because, I mean, he definitely dressed like one. He might fall into the category also.
He was like
you
a
say Dungeon
angry.
Of Doom, I say Dungeon of Dumb. Because that whole thing was weird.
Yeah, he was,
it
like
was
a
weird, but
person.
It's fun to look back on. It's absolutely absurd.
For all the great wrestling moments, you know, you think of Hogan Rock, you think Austin Bret Hart, and then you remember, there was the Yeti.
The Yeti.
There was Katie Vick. There was the Gobbledygooker and all that stuff, you know.
The Boogeyman. Let's not forget the Boogeyman.
The Boogeyman definitely could have been a paranormal
He's definitely
type wrestling character.
He eats worms. I mean, that's enough.
Protein.
He didn't complain about it. That's the weirder part, you know.
I think that's what got him TV time.
Yeah. My old tag partner, Supernova, who was head of talent relations at WWE at the time, said he had no qualms about eating worms. So, I mean, I think...
No qualms. Hey, if you got to get a job, that's a good way to keep it, you know?
Yeah, I think he put that in his references. In my off time, I like to fish and eat the bait.
Now, this is having me a flashback about when you were at WrestleMania 15 in your hometown. And,
in my hometown of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
And it was Ryan Shamrock, right? And there was a spanking obsession.
What's that?
Didn't you want her to be spanked or something? Or you tried?
Well, I was jealous of the fact that, you know, Goldust was giving her all the attention, you know. We kind of kidnapped her from her quote-unquote brother, Ken Shamrock, and she became a part of our crew. And, you know, up until that time, you know, Goldust had been, you know, I'd been his main focus, and then, you know, this chick comes in, and, you know, me and her are fighting over for, you know, Goldust's attention. And, I mean, I made sure, you know, when, if you watch, you know, go back and watch WrestleMania 15, you know, I'm in Goldust's corner, I made sure I did everything in my power to make sure they said my name at least 20 times during that match. Because I was doing cartwheels, I was doing handstands, I was... ran by, you know, and just, you know, mocked them to their face. I was like, if I'm not going to be in the ring, I'm going to make sure my name is said. And about a good 20 times during that match, like, they literally went, what the hell is Meanie doing? I was like, you're going to say my name.
In WrestleMania history is what he's doing.
Yes.
Everybody's
cool, man. I mean, what's that?
That's your WrestleMania moment.
Dude, I mean, some people, there's a lot of great wrestlers out there, a lot of guys who probably were even better than me, and they never got to make it to the big show, and just the fact that I had an opportunity to, you know, go out there and be in the biggest wrestling event in the world, you know, one of the first 20, and I'm in, you know, number 15, you know, when people look through the history books, my name will be in there, and I'm very fortunate to have done that, you know.
And that's a good one.
It was one of the better ones with Rock and Austin, you know, headlining.
Yeah.
I mean, up until that point, that was the highest, you know, paid, you know, pay-per-view in WWE history.
Yeah.
So
I think historically, to me, like, that's one of my all-time favorites. And then 16, kind of, because the ending took a dump for me. I lower that
right.
One. Plus, they had Taz somehow didn't win a hardcore championship when it's Taz.
Yes.
And Holly won, which, I don't know. That's just, it was weird.
Yeah, I kind of zoned out a little bit. Between 16 and number 20, I kind of, you know, checked out. Yeah. Because I was doing my own thing, and it just... No, I...
Oh,
I,
17. 17 is one you couldn't miss, though.
Yeah.
Well, that was the huge one, yeah. But, I mean, I was... The whole point is, Ryan Shamrock, was she hot in person?
Yes. And, very much so. And
I had a crush on Ryan Shamrock.
You had a crush on everyone.
That's true.
The funny thing about that is they had Ryan Shamrock, who was supposed to be, you know, Ken Shamrock's sister,
mm-hmm.
you know, character. And they wanted to, you know, maybe do an angle where he would kind of had, like, a crush on his own sister, and they turned it down. But then in real life, he wound up banging her anyway. So.
He solved that problem.
He knuckled up.
You know.
He's like, I don't want to bang
also,
my sister.
I don't, what's that?
He's like, I don't want to bang my sister on camera.
But I'm, like, in the bedroom, I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
And if you want to film it, I'm cool with that, too.
Vince loves the storylines. I think Vince
likes.
I think Vince likes incest storylines, and he's been dying to do a big one.
He does weird incest. He does like that, and then every couple of years he'll have somebody be like a fitness expert, or you know, so just certain characters. He keeps recycling certain ideas here and there, and you know, you just repackage it. You know,
the Simon system.
Well, yeah, they had before the Simon. Simon. When Nova did Simon Dean as a fitness expert, then they had the Bonnie Donnas with, you know, Candido and
Rip
Sonny, and then they were trying to get, you know, I was when I was in WWE, and I went down to Memphis for a couple of years. I worked for a couple of months to try out some new wrestling stuff. You know, they had a guy in developmental named Reckless Youth, and they wanted him to do a fitness expert, you know, type gimmick, and they wanted him a little bit like Richard Simmons, and they wanted him to, you know, grow out and get the man fro.
Oh,
and,
my God.
It's just like every now and then they try, you know, try to recycle certain gimmicks. It's just like, Jesus Christ.
Because 95% of the wrestlers aren't just like ridiculously in shape. So, but definitely bring out a fitness expert to mock them, because that somehow makes them.
Well, mock logic. Them, or you know, you get the heat by mocking the crowd and stuff
they,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they call them slobs. But yeah, I think, you know, yeah, it's like the Rick Rude, how he would mock them for being out of shape, but the dude was really ridiculously jacked.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you actually felt guilty when he would say that, because you're like, I am a slob.
I think Rick might be listening right now.
I was like, Rick.
This is a paranormal show.
I loved Rick. I wish I could go to a place and talk to Rick Rude. He's amazing. He'd be like, I'd be like, is anybody, Rick, are you here? Is there anything you like to say? And he'd be like, you're a fat.
He would just thrust in your face.
I was always hoping when he got to, you know, a city with a P in it, that he, you know, he would say, you know, you fat, lazy, out of shape Pennsylvania pussies. You know, but he would never bust out the pussy word, you know.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, he had such a way with words, you know, and he had that, you know, a husky voice that, I think the word pussy coming out of Rick Rude's mouth would be, you know, music to my ears. You know?
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh.
I would giggle like an infant, you know.
It was so...
Oh, dude.
We're getting close to
like
end.
A baby who found it. I would giggle like a baby who found his dick for the first time, you know.
Oh, that's...
Jesus Christ.
And on that note... On that note,
we just got Sandusky.
Please,
oh, that's
what you need to do. Please plug.
That's
everyone.
A closer, man. That is totally a closer.
We have to end that, Ryan. Let them know where they can find you online.
Oh, that's not
the time by myself.
I've ever killed.
find Brian on Twitter. Blue Meanie, the Blue Meanie, the like Shakespeare wrote
yeah.
it. Theee Blue Meanie. I mean,
mostly because some kid in England stole it, so I can't have my own name. But, yes, you could go to twitter.com.
Go punch that kid.
The Blue Meanie.
The Blue Meanie. On Facebook, Brian Heffron, The Blue Meanie. Please find him. Find him now because, I mean, this is one of the most entertaining times I've ever had in my life.
damn right. This is...
It was great.
Go to facebook.com. Facebook.com/Brian.Heffron, which is my real name, HEFFRON. You can, even though I can't add friends right now, you can subscribe to my page, and hopefully I keep you entertained. So.
All right, well,
yay!
Thank you so much. We got to go. We're running a little bit over. Shriekfest is next. Thank you so much, Brian. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks for having
me. Thank you for joining us. My mind is blown. Now, everybody act like a baby who just found their dick. For me and Fernando.
Good night, everybody.
This is Paranormal Radio signing off. Good night.
Good night.
Peace.